Good afternoon, brethren, and happy Sabbath to all of you. And thank you, Greg, for that great prayer. You know, crossing the border from Mexico to the United States in California left an indelible mark drilled in my mind. The officer at the border, with a big smile on his face, said to me, "Welcome to Gringolandia." As we entered the new country, I was spellbound, fascinated, riding in our car, seeing the clean, beautiful, and well-organized endless freeways, passing through the naval shipyards in San Diego, looking at the warships, and of course, listening to the sounds of helicopters and police sirens and ambulances that were flying above our car, and not to mention that all the signs were in English. I felt like I was in a movie. I was 13 years old at that time, and believe you me, my eyes were spinning, looking around at our car windows, not knowing what I'm going to see next or hear. I didn't know what I was going to expect. The minute that we crossed the border, we were under a new government, which meant new laws. Dad couldn't throw a cigarette out of the car window without getting fined. Different governments around the world have different set of laws. Here, you have to use the crosswalks to cross the streets, or you get fined with jaywalking. My memories of my early years in my new home have been gradually changing. It's so different from yesteryear. My children and young people have no idea how time has changed things the way they used to be. Culture, music, dress codes, even new foods we have. You see more people with torn jeans, and in some stores, in my days, they would not allow people come in with that way. We were able to play in the streets until dark without the fear of gangs coming to our neighborhood. We only had one telephone, which was on the wall, and when it rang, we raced to get it first. Oh, but times have changed, haven't they? You used to pay to the circus to see people. To see people all decorated with tattoos on their face and bodies, and the beard lady, clowns with ridiculous funny outfits. But all you have to do now is go to a well-known department stores, and for free, you can be entertained. What has become with our country, with our nation? It seems that different administrations and government changes the outcome behavior of society. It's all about permissiveness, the tolerance of governments. You know, I was watching in Congress room politicians questioning each other, and it seems that some cannot even give you a definition of what is a woman. The misappropriation of monies that are reserved for emergencies are being questioned. You know, that's happening right now. But, you know, I don't want to get into politics. I don't want to be in politics. But there's no harmony between the branches of government. Governments around the world are also problematic with themselves. There is no way that we can prevent wars around the world. You have poorer nations wanting what richer nations have. Nations claiming territories that think that they are theirs, that they should be theirs, etc. We always have wars. In the world's history, there's always been wars, starting with Cain when he killed his brother, with nations that are unequal in sizes, and some of them have more food, resources, etc., it is impossible to create a universal order that could prevent conflicts with one another. Most countries spend a substantial amount of resources training soldiers and building armed forces to protect themselves from their foes or to invade the weaker nations. Let's pray for our new administration that will be soon, that things will get better, that brings peace and harmony. Remember the old expression, whoever dies with the most toys wins? Brethren, we live in the richest nation in the world, but it isn't secure. God has promised, has protected us all these years, 248 years since 1776. How much longer will he continue to protect us? God gave great blessings to the 12 sons of Jacob. The greater blessings went to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Abraham Lincoln admonished us in his proclamation of prayer and fasting in 1863. I want everybody to listen closely, especially the young people, of what President Lincoln had to say. He said, listen closely.
We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us.
Does that sound like familiar for today? You bet it does. How much longer will the eternal God will continue to bless this nation? Patriarch Abraham, the father of many nations, he was the father of many nations, and guess what? The population of the United States is full of peoples from descendants of many nations. Can we get along since we live together? Just in this congregation, we have members, descendants from different nations. We have people from Germany, Greece, Chile, Cuba, Japan, Mexico, Canada, Peru, Norway, Scotland, Ecuador, Philippines, and I think we have one Native American as well. Have I missed anybody? Yes. What is it? Which one? Yeah. Where? Oh, Tobago. Yes. Some of our ancestors came on the Mayflower ship, some on slave ships, and some came on the Spanish ship. But today, brethren, we are all on the same boat. As I stated, and all we need is to acknowledge, we need to acknowledge all these blessings, where they came from. As I stated in the beginning, times are changing so different from the time I entered this country. You and I are privileged to know the outcome of a new society, free from today's governments that lead to uncertainties, disappointments, a world of diseases, poverty, and greed, etc. It's all about government. Who can qualify to rule this world in peace and harmony? You know, I've been noticing how many people are concerned with the changes, of time, and they are turning to God. But the time is coming when the whole world will have full knowledge of the true God, with Jesus as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, establishing a perfect government on this earth. Most churches do not teach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Their goal is to get to heaven. Some suggest that the kingdom of God is the church or heaven, but is it really? We can accept and believe in Jesus as our personal Savior, but we also must obey his words, his commands. In Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice that, kingdom plus righteousness. What is righteousness? Psalm 119:172. My tongue shall speak of my word. My tongue shall speak thy word. For all of your commandments are righteousness. Young people, I know that we as a church emphasize God's kingdom and law, while other churches preach heaven as the reward of the saved. And the law has been done away with. Listen to what Jesus said. These are his words. He says in Matthew 5:18-19, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So then, whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches others to do likewise will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices them, teaches, they will be called great in the kingdom of heaven or God. The Catholic Church believes that the kingdom of God is the ruling of God in our hearts, present in the person of Jesus, the Messiah, and remaining in the Eucharist. It is the kingdom of love, peace, justice. It is identified with the church. Young people, please understand how vitally important God's commandments and his kingdom are. Jesus' reason for laying aside his divinity and becoming a man was to proclaim, to decree, to announce his coming kingdom. Jesus came preaching the gospel. The gospel means the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's in Mark 1:14. And in Luke 4:43, he said, for this purpose I have been sent. Also, in John 18:37, it reads, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come, until the world will give testimony for the truth. Everyone who is a friend and listens to the truth and listens to my voice, should be wearing my glasses. There. Let me go back again. Jesus also said, we must go to a nearby town so that I can tell the good news to those people. This is why I came. This is why I come. That was Jesus' purpose for coming. Did you get that? Jesus instructed us how we can be part of that kingdom. Just imagine a new worldwide government. Let's turn to my last scripture, and that would be in Revelation 11:15. Go ahead and turn there. Revelation 11:15. It reads, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So what are we supposed to do first? Unlike most popular beliefs, just believe in Jesus and be saved? Well, even the demons believe that. No. The Bible commands us to seek ye first the kingdom and righteousness, which means obey his commandments, and pray for a new administration to be established on the whole earth. Pray, thy kingdom come.